This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of One Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. The game weeks are coming thick and fast. 14 is already done and 15 is coming up very soon. On today's episode, we'll run through game week 14's results and key performers as quickly as possible, and I'll give you my star and flop of the week. And then we're into game week 15, the deadline midweek this week, so don't miss it. Tuesday, the 5th of December at 6 p.m. UK time. We'll run through the fixture list. We'll talk some informed players with good fixtures. We'll talk potential transfers in and out, captaincy differentials. And as always, we'll finish off with my likely team ahead of game week 15. So let's get into it. Right then, game week 14 is in the bag. It started with Arsenal 2, Wolves 1. Goals for Odegaard and Saka, assists for Tomiyasu and Zinchenko. Cunha getting Wolves' consolation goal and Semedo getting the assist. Brentford 3, Luton 1. Goals for Baptiste, Ben Mee and Neil Mopai. And assists for Lewis Potter, Mbermo and Ben Mee. Luton's consolation came from Brown and Barkley got the assist. This was the game week many had high hopes from Mbermo. Many had brought him in this game week specifically with this fixture in mind. The beginning of a great run of fixtures for Brentford. But just the one assist for him. Burnley 5, Sheffield United 0. Goals for Burnley came from Brownhill, Jay Rodriguez, Amdouni, Colioscio and Brun Larsen. Assists for Bayer, O'Shea, Taylor and Amdouni. So a great result for Vincent Kompany's Burnley side that had been under huge pressure. This was the game that they absolutely had to win if they want to start thinking and believing that they can survive. Not too many FPL assets that I'm particularly excited about Burnley. I have Charlie Taylor as my fifth choice defender purely on the basis that he was 3.9 million. So nice and affordable. And it was slightly frustrating to see him with a 10 point return sat on my bench as he was and probably still will be for the rest of the season in that last position on my bench. So never any danger of him coming on and me getting those points. But nice to see him getting returns nonetheless. Nottingham Forest 0, Everton 1. A huge 3 points for Everton as their improved form continues. Dwight McNeil with the goal for them. Newcastle 1, Manchester United 0. Anthony Gordon with the goal. His impressive form continues. And Kieran Trippier with the assist. Manchester United FPL assets increasingly looking less and less appealing. Their questionable performances finally catching up with them here. Very much second best in this one. Bournemouth 2, Aston Villa 2. Semenya and Solanke with the goals for Bournemouth. Christie and Kerkez with the assists. Aston Villa's goals came from Leon Bailey and Ollie Watkins. And assists for Ollie Watkins and Diaby. Chelsea 3, Brighton 2. Two goals for Enzo Fernandez and a goal for Levi Colwill. Assists for Badiashile, Mudrick and Nicholas Jackson. That was enough to get Chelsea over the line despite a red card for Conor Gallagher. Brighton's two goals from Buonanotte and João Pedro with assists for Lallana and Milner. Cole Palmer was benched for this game after Pochettino revealed that he felt something in training the day before, and that meant that Enzo was on penalties in this game. Liverpool 4, Fulham 3. Goals for Trent Alexander-Arnold, McAllister, Endo, and an own goal for Bernd Leno. Assists for Trent, Salah, and Tsimikas. Goals for Fulham came from Decordova Reed, Tete and Wilson with assists for Kearney and Robinson. Salah captainers will have been left pretty frustrated with just the one assist in this fixture. On paper, a great one for captaincy at home against Fulham. But three goals conceded. That's actually the second time in a row Fulham have managed to score three. And just the one return from Salah. West Ham 1, Crystal Palace 1. Goal for Kudus for West Ham, Soufal with the assist, and Edouard on the score sheet for Crystal Palace. And finally, rounding off game week 14, we had a barnstorming game at the Etihad. Manchester City 3, Spurs 3. Goals for City came from Foden, Grealish and a Heung-min Son own goal. And that came via an assist, a flick-on header from Haaland. One of two assists for Haaland, Alvarez with the third assist. Kulusevski, Lo Celso and Son with the goals for Spurs. Johnson, Kulusevski and Son each with assists as well. Right, let's finish off our review of 14 with our star and flop of the week. Star of the week first. A couple of honourable mentions go to some defensive candidates. Kieran Trippier got himself an assist and a clean sheet for a 12-point return. Trent Alexander-Arnold with a goal and an assist and a 13-point return for him. But he did concede three. Ben Mee surpasses Trent's 13-point return with 14 points, a goal and an assist for the Brentford centre-back. But I'm giving it to the Chelsea midfielder Enzo Fernandez. A 14-point return from midfield, two goals scored, and he managed to hold the fort in that 10-man Chelsea side. Conor Gallagher deserting him in the middle of the park, Enzo having to do twice the amount of work there. So he gets my star of the week. A couple of contenders for flop of the week. You could have pretty much taken your pick from any of that defensive line at Sheffield United who took a 5-0 hammering, including Wes Fodderingham in goal. Expected goals conceded of 1.8, nowhere near the reality. 5 goals shipped, and that is an absolute disaster. There is an argument to say flop of the week could instead go to Ollie McBurnie, who did his side absolutely no favours whatsoever by getting that red card on 45 minutes, costing his side any chance of getting back into that game. But I briefly touched on him earlier, and flop of the week this week goes to Enzo Fernandez, teammate in midfield, Conor Gallagher, for 2 yellow cards. His 44 minutes and 2 goals conceded earned him a minus 2-point return, despite being on the winning side of a 3-2 victory. So Conor Gallagher is my flop of the week. Right then, straight on to game week 15. The deadline is Tuesday, the 5th of December at 6 p.m. UK time. Make sure you're not caught out by this midweek deadline. We'll quickly run through the fixture list. Wolves take on Burnley, Luton versus Arsenal. Then on Wednesday, we've got Brighton against Brentford, Crystal Palace versus Bournemouth, Fulham versus Forest, Sheffield United versus Liverpool, Aston Villa against Manchester City, and Manchester United taking on Chelsea. And then on Thursday evening, we've got Everton versus Newcastle. And finally, Spurs are at home against West Ham. Couple of key standout fixtures to look at here. Arsenal away at Luton, a great fixture on paper. We've also got Liverpool away at Sheffield United. So two strong sides with good FPL assets against weaker teams. We've also got Manchester City away at Aston Villa. This feels like another game that could have goals in it. We've got a Newcastle side in good form away at Everton, which on paper should be a Newcastle victory, but Everton turning their form around will make life very difficult for Newcastle indeed. And Spurs seem to be getting goals regardless of who they put out on the pitch. So there's every chance that we'll see some FPL returns for attacking options like Heung-min Son at home against West Ham. Now, in terms of potential transfers, there will be quite a few FPL managers who have been mulling over what to do with Ollie Watkins. He was a 50-50 injury doubt going into game week 14, so many will have thought about selling him. Many probably did, making that switch to a very popular alternative in Darwin Nunez. Anyone who did do that will have been mightily frustrated. Watkins proved to be fit and played in the end, getting himself a goal and assist, while Nunez failed to return against Fulham. And those that held on to Watkins could potentially be rewarded with their patience with him. They do have City and Arsenal next. Now, this doesn't sound great. However, Manchester City are conceding a lot of goals at the moment. And in the game against Spurs in game week 14, Rodri picked up a fifth yellow card, meaning he is suspended for this Villa fixture. Now, the last time Rodri was out, it proved pretty costly for Manchester City. In the three games that he was unavailable earlier in the season, they failed to win any of them. So that could prove to be a pivotal absence in their midfield. So there could be an opportunity for Villa and Watkins to get something out of that game. If you are still concerned by those two fixtures and the fact that Villa's fixture run is no longer as appealing as it once was, then still the main alternatives look like Darwin Nunez, but also maybe Isak. With Callum Wilson still out and seemingly not too close to a return, it's always good to know you've got a striker who's guaranteed 90 minutes. Isak is the main man leading that Newcastle attack. They are in good form, and the next five fixtures for Newcastle are Everton, Spurs, Fulham, Luton and Forest. So that does sound like a pretty good run of fixtures for an attacker to have a go at. Right, let's quickly talk now about Cole Palmer replacements. He was benched, as I said before, due to an injury concern. He did come on towards the end of the game and make an appearance, so he obviously wasn't that unfit. It does feel like potentially Pochettino is looking at rotation there. There are other players coming back into the fray at Chelsea. We've seen that Christopher Nkunku is back in training, and we know he will definitely be in Pochettino's thoughts once he's fully fit once again. So if you're looking at alternatives for that fifth choice midfielder on a budget, Anthony Gordon at Newcastle feels like the most popular option, certainly a very good one, especially if you are nervous about Isak's minutes or that position once Wilson does return. He's in good form, he's scoring goals, but there is one other alternative that does stand out, especially given the fixtures in the next three, and that player is Wolves midfielder Hwan Hee-chan. Wolves' next fixtures are Burnley, Forest and West Ham. Since Pedro Neto got injured, he's been the main attacking outlet for Wolves, and he is delivering in terms of FPL points. 6 returns in his last 8, and those 3 fixtures there feel like a very good short-term punt to replace Cole Palmer if you are concerned about his fitness or his minutes. Now, there's another Newcastle player that we need to discuss as a potential transfer in. And that man is Martin Dubravka. Nick Pope, with a suspected dislocated shoulder in the last game, looks like he could be out for several months. He may even require surgery, so it's a long-term absence for the Newcastle number one. Dubravka came off the bench to replace him in the last game, and with that fixture run, it does also feel like a good opportunity for us to finally improve our goalkeeping options. Many of us have been stuck with the likes of Areola and Turner, either failing to find clean sheet or even save points, or even losing their place in the side. Now, last episode, I spoke briefly about Kelleher as a potential replacement for Alisson, but that was very much a short-term option. This feels a little more long-term, certainly into the new year. And at 3.9 million, Dubravka is definitely a better alternative to Kelleher. I think that Dubravka is going to become a lot of people's number one first choice goalkeeper in their FPL teams. And I would not be at all surprised to see that 3.9 million price tag increase very quickly indeed. Okay, time for some differentials now. The first I'm going to give you is the man I've just spoken about. It's Martin Dubravka. He's not going to be a differential for long, so I thought I'd get him in this game week. 1.2% owned at the moment and just 3.9 million. Dubravka surely won't be a differential for long. He is my first differential pick. Next up, it's West Ham's Kudus. He's 2.8% owned, 6.6 million. He's now started the last 5 for West Ham, and in those, he's got himself 2 goals and 3 assists. Next 3 fixtures for him: Spurs, Fulham and Wolves. Not many teams are keeping clean sheets, and these three certainly struggle to at the moment. So Kudus could be a really nice differential in your midfield. And finally, Semenya at Bournemouth. The attacker is 3.4% owned and he's just 4.6 million. Next five for Bournemouth are Palace, Manchester United, Luton, Forest and Fulham. Depending on your team setup, you might be in a 3-4-3. If you can't afford someone like a Solanke as your third choice striker, then Semenya could be a really nice cheap alternative to him. And with a goal in his last game, he'll fancy his chances against Palace in game week 15 and beyond. Okay, let's talk captaincy. The age-old question, Haaland or Salah? Or perhaps this week, it could be someone else. Saka, perhaps. Maybe even Son. Haaland away at Aston Villa, Salah away at Sheffield United. Probably at the moment, I'm leaning towards Mo Salah. However, perfectly acceptable to go with a Saka away at Luton. The big frustration, I suppose, here is that all of the chief candidates for captaincy are away from home. If you don't fancy that, there is an argument to say you could go with an Ollie Watkins at home against Manchester City, although I do always think it takes quite a brave person to captain someone against them. Alternatively, you could even look at someone like a Heung-min Son at home against West Ham. For me at the moment, I'm leaning towards Salah. He feels like the most consistent out of all of those options, and he's probably against the weakest side in the league at the moment in Sheffield United. So at the moment, the armband is on Mo Salah. Right then, let's quickly run through my team ahead of game week 15. At the moment, I have Areola in goal against Spurs, a back three of Tsimikas, Lascelles and Gabriel, all away from home, but they're against Sheffield United, Everton and Luton, so good chance of some clean sheet potential there. Midfield five looks like this at the moment. Salah away at Sheffield United, Mbeumo away at Brighton, Son at home to West Ham, Saka away at Luton and Cole Palmer at home to Manchester United. A front two of Watkins against City and Haaland against Villa. At the moment, I've got the armband on Mo Salah and I'm looking at making two transfers. I've got two free transfers this game week and I could well be making both of them. There have been a couple of game weeks in a row now where I've rolled one of my transfers, and when there was an opportunity to perhaps improve my goalkeeping situation, I knew I would try and take it. This feels like one of those game weeks, so I could well find myself with Areola dropping to be my bench goalkeeper and replacing Turner with Dubravka, who would then come in and start against Everton. The other change I'll be looking to make is selling Cole Palmer, who is away at Manchester United, and bringing in either Anthony Gordon or Hwang Hee-chan of Wolves. I might end up going with Hwang Hee-chan, and the main reason for that is because if I went with Gordon, I would be tripling up with Newcastle with Gordon, Lascelles and Dubravka, and that does mean I will be blocking any potential future move to someone like an Isak or a Trippier if I could afford him. So if I make those two moves for game week 15, then my bench would be Areola, Archer, Pau Torres and Taylor. So there you have it. That is my preview for game week 15. Good luck to everyone chasing those green arrows. A reminder once again of the deadline for this game week 15. It's Tuesday, the 5th of December at 6 p.m. UK time. Don't get caught out. My name is Andy Johnson. You can find me on Twitter or X at AndyJAudio or at OneStopFPL. Best of luck to you all. Thank you very much for listening and I'll speak to you all again soon.